Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. On today's program, I'll be presenting another in my Health Challenges series. My guest is Greg Keeler. Keeler is a graduate of Ithaca College and has worked at WSKG Public Media in both radio and TV, as well as behind the scenes since 1985. He also sings tenor with the Madrigal Choir of Binghamton and the Trinity Memorial Choir. Keeler has also dealt with the issue of obesity throughout his life. In 2010, he decided to have gastric bypass surgery, and he'll talk about his journey with weight issues, as well as his surgery experience and its aftermath. And thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for asking me, Tish.
Yeah, this is a really important issue. Now talk to us about your childhood propensity to put on weight and tell us what that was like. And
well, you know, I don't know why. I'm the only one in my family that got as heavy as I got. I have a skinny beanpole dad, a skinny beanpole sister and brother. My mom was a little heavy, but nowhere near as heavy as I managed to get. And it was early on. We have pictures of me as a little kid. I was quite the butterball as a little kid, and I got called fat in school and the whole nine yards. So I've really been fighting obesity all my life.
Yeah. And were you treated badly in schools and really bullied and not just called names?
You know what's funny is I look back and a lot of kids are about as heavy now
yes.
as I was then.
Uh-huh.
But it was more unusual in the 60s when I was in elementary school to be heavy. And yeah, I took a lot of ribbing. I took a lot of and I had a lot of social anxiety on top of that. So it was not a happy time.
Yeah. Tell me how your parents dealt with this, though. Did they even bring it up? Tell us.
They were supportive of anything I might do, some movement, anything just to try to work to get it off. I remember they actually said, you know, we'll give you money.
Oh, yeah.
Some large figure. I don't remember what it was. And I know I wrestled with my mom over eating between meals and all of that. And sometimes I think that might have had something to do with it. Is it was a control issue as well as just a tendency to overeat.
Wow, that's really interesting. So you attribute it to that and not some hormonal thing. You know, I mean, a lot of
no.
people say that I don't do enough exercise or I don't really eat that much, but it runs in my family kind of thing.
Well, it does run on my mom's side of the family to be slightly heavy, but to get as heavy as I got, I definitely have behavioral issues, psychological, emotional issues with an addiction to overeating, comfort food, eating when I'm not hungry.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a physician? Did your parents take you to a pediatrician that even dealt with it? Because a lot of doctors don't talk about
nutrition. Dr. Coddington, I can remember him talking about how, imagine you're just carrying two bags of groceries with you everywhere you go. You know, that made an impression on me. Didn't change my behavior, but so I had the advice. I had the offers to go to a nutritionist. Mom took me to a psychologist, the whole nine yards. But just, you know, everything I tried, I never was able to take very much off.
Yeah, and the anxiety knowing all these people expect you to do something too must have added to it. I just think that's such a double whammy.
It is.
The kids already got this issue, and then you start banging on him about it, expecting him to suddenly change it while it's still happening. It makes no sense to me.
And I'm not sure I've got great advice for parents either, other than the kid is probably quite aware that they're heavier than is healthy. You know, I'm not sure what my parents could have done differently. I was a very willful kid.
And
I think I just kind of made up my mind that comfort food is my thing.
Yeah. So do you feel like you were actually addicted to eating food and certainly probably bad food?
Absolutely. Carbs. I'm a carbs guy. I wasn't so much the sweets as the carbs. And yeah, it's an addiction. They even talk about, you can read about how it's just like other addictions in terms of the reward centers of the brain and the brain chemistry and all of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I would assume, but tell us, that as you became older, you started getting into trying diets.
Yes.
Fad diets, every diet on the planet.
Yes.
We know
I
all
did
about
something
that.
Called OptiFast, which they don't even do anymore.
Where what was
you
that?
Well, it's all liquid diet. Now I believe there's a modified physician-supervised version of this where it's only one meal a day that you replace, or maybe two meals, and then you have dinner. But we replaced all three meals with this kind of awful-tasting powder
you
do up in a blender and maybe add some spices to try to make it a little more interesting. And I lost 80 pounds on that.
Wow.
But at the time, 26 years ago, the re-education about how to eat right and nutrition and all of that wasn't as good as it should have been. So as soon as you're off the liquid diet, you put the weight back on and then some.
Yeah. So you must know intimately how you have to change behaviors.
I have not been just through, through nutrition, and I know a lot about protein. You can't go through the gastric bypass preparation period without learning about how you really have to eat carefully after the surgery. So if I didn't know before about carbs and counting calories and protein and all of that, I sure do now.
So we know that this is a culture that's obsessed with thinness and looks and, you know, all that stuff. How much of that do you think affected you, though?
Oh, that's a really good question. I went into puberty already heavy. So as I became sexually aware, I was sort of discovering maybe I'm not the most desirable flower in the patch. I think there was a lot of shame involved.
Yeah.
I felt awfully lucky to find my honey, to find my wife and get married. She was heavy too, and actually she went through gastric bypass as well. It's kind of an interesting thing that we did that together. There's a lot of shame involved. I think even for people who aren't heavy, you know, just for not having buff enough arms or whatever, definitely some shame.
Because, you know, I've talked to a lot of women who've had problems with weight and you know, worries about their looks and stuff. It seems to be more pressing for women
in
this culture. And I've often wondered how men deal with it.
I have an interesting story about how different it is for women. Pam and I would walk into a restaurant and she would
say...
You're
talking about your wife.
Yes. Yeah, my wife, Pam. And she would say, did you see how those people over there looked me up and down? And I wouldn't be aware of that. So it is easier for men. You can kind of slide through. And I was super morbidly obese. We should get that out there. At my height, I weighed 384 pounds, very close to 400 pounds. Uh-huh. So clearly, I used to say, perhaps a little self-disparagingly, circus freak fat, by which I mean you can't not notice it. You walk into a restaurant and, you know, we would joke, well, we're Mr. and Mrs. Fat. But she would always talk about how people would really stare at her. And I wasn't as aware of that. And even when I tried to pay attention, I do think it's a lot harder for women.
Yeah.
People, both men and women, judge women, I think, more harshly.
Oh, absolutely. And that judgment thing, let's go back to that. I had a friend in San Francisco who was morbidly obese. And I remember walking around the streets with her, and she'd maybe be drinking a Coke, which we kept telling her you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And people would yell out of their cars, why don't you stop eating that crap food, you know? Why don't you lose weight? Did you ever get that?
I don't think I ever got somebody who was a stranger saying something like that.
Oh, I heard it all the time.
I would have friends occasionally say something a little abrupt to me, and my mother every once in a while would say something pretty strong. But yeah, I never got catcalled about it. And I guess for whatever reason, people feel entitled to comment on what they see when they look at a woman's body, which is hard for me to fathom.
To this day, you know, it hasn't changed a bit, obviously. I mean, I'm talking about years ago. Well, were you somebody who tried to compensate for how bad the world was making you feel and how bad you probably felt by being one of those jolly fat people?
Well,
that one hears
I
about?
Definitely was jolly and enjoyed being humorous in high school and college. I still like to be a funny guy. Would I say it's compensation? Could be. You know, my dad's a funny guy and he's a beanpole, so maybe I inherited the funny. I don't know. But yes, I definitely went for life of the party when I could.
You are a funny guy, though. So, you know, in some ways it probably helped you through this.
I think.
To be a naturally funny guy, regardless of what the circumstances were.
It's a good deflector.
So let's talk about the fact that you finally decided in 2010 to have this gastric bypass surgery. What was the final straw for you for this?
Well, I should say I decided in 2009 because it takes a while to actually get a surgery date. But I remember deciding this during a performance with the Madrigal Choir of Binghamton. We did a Twelfth Night thing where you'd have a costume on, and I couldn't stand for a whole choir concert.
Oh.
And so they'd have to put a chair in the front row, and I just felt like I was making a spectacle out of myself. I'm in my late 40s and just feeling kind of disabled, you know, not able to tie my own shoes. I had to wake my wife up to tie my shoes. And
just
walking through, we've got a Wegmans in Binghamton where I live, and just walking through Wegmans, I'd have such a backache that I just, you know, would have to sit down the rest of the day. But really, it was during that concert when it just felt just so depressing to not be able to do what all of my friends, many of them in the choir, were 10 and 20 years older than me, standing through a whole concert just fine. But the weight just got to be too much even just for everyday activities.
God, that's really interesting. I had never thought of that, about that aspect. What about any of the conditions that one can get from being
obese?
Did you have diabetes? Did you have sleep apnea? All those, any of those things?
All of the above.
Really?
And high cholesterol and this, that, and the other thing. Sleep apnea, and I had also gotten to a point where I was having edema around my ankles. In the summer, my legs would swell so much that I would have blisters that would break.
Oh my God.
I was dealing with open sores while dealing with diabetes, which is a bad combination. Just many physical things that were making me feel a lot more disabled than I had a right to feel for every other reason in my life.
And did people in your life say, Greg, why don't you just stop eating so much? And, isn't this the way you can take care of this?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not, right? It just doesn't work for some
people.
You need to
address it. You need to address it one way or another. And as I approached the weight loss surgery and did my research, and anybody who ever considers this, please read everything you can get your hands on just to learn all of the options.
Oh, yeah.
And what a lifestyle change it enforces on you. And if you go for the particular surgery I went for, which is the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, there are nutritional implications for the rest of your life because they bypass a part of your intestine, the top third of your intestine. So there's absorption issues with vitamins and protein, and you really have to mind your protein and all of that stuff. I'm sorry. What was the original question? I sort of took a little.
No, this is fine. This is just an ongoing conversation about this whole issue. But what are some of the criterion before they will do this surgery for you?
Well, they do want to make sure that you have tried many different ways to do it. And I had a primary physician who wrote a letter because he'd helped me through the Optifast, and he'd helped me through some managed eating plans and some exercise that I really did try, but just couldn't stay with it. So insurance won't pay if you're lucky enough to have insurance that does cover weight loss surgery. Most of them have hoops that they need you to jump through to get a physician to say that you've worked hard on trying to lose weight. Sometimes you need to have a nutritionally supervised diet plan for a certain number of months. So there are other hoops like that before they'll even take you into a program. Then your surgeon is going to want you to be really, really healthy. So they have you do an awful lot of tests. I had my first colonoscopy. I had a nuclear heart test to make sure that, they don't want you dying on the table.
Exactly.
And in my case, this was the first surgery I'd had in my life. I'd somehow managed to avoid having any surgeries. But before performing a voluntary surgery like this, they have an awful lot of doctors and a psychologist and a nutritionist and a lot of people to see. And it really took a year to get through all of that and to get a surgery date.
So was this a normal procedure that one would go through if they opted to have this surgery, all those tests?
That's
normal?
My experience. I have some experience with a Binghamton area doctor, and I finally ended up deciding to have surgery in Ithaca at the Cuga Medical Center. And both of those programs have a counseling program that you go through to make sure you understand what's going on and do have requirements about seeing different doctors just to make sure you're as healthy as you can be at 350 pounds, which is what I was on surgery day, so that they can do a good job on you.
I understand that they will not do this surgery unless you do weigh a certain amount, like over 100 pounds overweight.
They do it by body mass index. And
okay.
I'm sorry I don't recall the exact number. But if you're not super morbidly obese by BMI, they probably won't do one of the procedures on you. Different doctors have different rules. Insurances have different rules. But we're talking a candidate for weight loss surgery should be somebody who has, as they say, comorbidities. You mentioned sleep apnea. Diabetes is a common one. A lot of people have problems with knees and ankles. I've managed to escape joint issues yet, although I, put a lot of miles on those joints before I lost my 135 pounds. So I imagine there might be something in my future. But there's so many comorbidities, so many problems with being heavy, not the least of which is, of course, I had a friend who used to say, you're a walking heart attack, Greg.
Yeah.
Waiting to happen any day.
Yeah, that's what I worry about when I see somebody morbidly obese, especially when you see him trying to walk. And it's such a hardship, it looks like.
Yeah.
I often thought that insurance companies would only pay if you were, under threat of death or something.
Well, that was the case
with
mine.
Instead of it just being cosmetic.
They wanted to see a certain number of, as they say, comorbidities, and I had them in spades.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Greg Keeler. I'm presenting one of my Health Challenges series, and we're talking about his lifelong fight with obesity and his final decision to have gastric bypass surgery. Now, tell us about the day of the surgery. How did you feel? What did you have to do?
Well,
were you scared?
So much preparation. And so much. We had a wonderful support group that met at Cayuga Medical Center that I'd been visiting for a year. So I'd heard people talk about the surgery and surgery day and what to bring with you and all of that. So I knew what was going to be involved. But yes, I'd be lying if I tried to claim I wasn't scared. Never had surgery before. And I'm asking these people to, you know, put me out and do things with knives. And you got to take that very seriously, especially when they have you sign all the pieces of paper that warn you that it's possible you could have complications. It's possible you could die.
Yeah.
But as my surgeon said, what is your life and your health going to be like if you don't treat your obesity and you haven't been able to treat it any other way? And how long a life are you going to have? And these were all very good points. So I was willing to step forward and say, I'm willing to risk having designer guts, having my guts rearranged in order to lose weight. And I'm really glad I did it. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Yeah. I wish I'd lost more, but I've kept 100. Well, from surgery day, I weighed 350, and I weigh 250 today. So
wow,
I've kept 100
great.
Pounds off. As so many people do, I bounced up from my lowest figure, which was 212. But I've stayed at 250 for a good long time, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. For those doing math, I'm 5'8 and a half, so I'm still in the obese range. I'd love to get to a point where I'm not even obese anymore, but I'd have to be under 200 to pull that off.
Yeah, but it must be an entirely new life. But before we talk about that, I do want to talk about that. What are the risks for this kind of a surgery? What can happen? Did any of it happen to you, like infections?
I was lucky. I sailed through. I had the expected pain, but they give you a pain med, and I found I could wait longer and longer before I took the pain med, and then I didn't need them anymore. And I was also a very, very good patient. I got up and walked. They want you to get up and walk, and I did that to make sure you don't have any adhesions and all of that. But, they're messing around with your intestines and your stomach, not to gross anybody out, but these are important parts of your body.
Absolutely.
And we heard some scary stories in group about people who had to go in for revisions or had to go in and have further surgeries because for whatever reason their body didn't take well to it. I really believe in the surgeons at Cayuga Medical. I think they're very high quality. At the time when I went in, they hadn't ever had a morbidity. They hadn't never had anybody die on the table. But there are scary things that can happen with these important parts of your body. I was very lucky.
Yeah, I know. I've internal bleeding, blood clots. You know, I hear about all that. Any kind of surgery, that kind of thing can happen. So did you have any choice? Did it have to be open surgery? I know they have that laryscope or whatever it's called.
Yeah, laparoscopic.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone prefers laparoscopic. But one of those papers I had to sign was if they run into a challenge, you're signing that we reserve the right to make it an open surgery, which of course is a lot longer recovery time
and more dangerous.
Yeah. But I was lucky. They were able to do it with laparoscopy, and I just have three little holes where they inserted instruments and did everything through the little holes.
That's amazing. Oh, really? I just envisioned that you'd had to have total open surgery.
No.
Now how long did it actually take you to recover? And I know you probably have to be on liquid diet for a while.
You do. You do indeed, because the parts that process food are healing. So you have to be on a liquid diet, but you've got to get your protein in because protein is so important for healing. So you learn about protein powders that you can mix. I made a protein jello that I ate a lot. Let me put it this way. I took 4 weeks off of work, and by the middle of the third week, I was just bored, silly. So I actually went back early. So it took me about 2.5 weeks to feel pretty darn normal.
And the pain was gone.
And the pain was gone, and I was walking, and I was a little tired. You know, as your body works so hard to recover from surgery, you're tired for the first while. And, of course, more so then because I was still heavy. You know, you've just had the surgery, but I still weighed 350 pounds. But the hardest part was the weird diet, and it takes a while to get used to. Now, I don't think anything of it except that I can't pig out like I used to. I used to be able to eat, you know, you wouldn't believe how much at Thanksgiving dinner. And now I just have a very small plate that I put together because I know I'm going to run out of room very quickly.
Wow. That's. I wanted to talk about that, too, because, I mean, obviously you can't just walk out of a surgery like this and go on your merry way.
Right.
Behavioral changes, diet changes. How do you set yourself up psychologically to be ready for that? Because obviously the diets didn't work. It never worked before, right?
Well, I was inspired by the thought of being able to have the surgery give me a 100-pound jumpstart. So it was not only the physical change, but that inspiration, which helped me lose by myself before surgery 40 pounds, which was the most I'd lost in a long time by just diet and some exercise. Walking was pretty much the only exercise I could do that heavy. But again, there was this weekly support group that I still occasionally stop in at, and the Cayuga Medical Center has a great weekly support group where they talk about all of these issues, about the changes in diet, and they're different for the different weight loss surgeries that are out there. Mm-hmm. But they talked about especially pushing the protein and getting your vitamins in and making sure you don't fill up on carbohydrates, because you've got to really think carefully about what your body needs and eat your protein first and get your vitamins in so that you're going to stay healthy, because it is possible to get less healthy if you're not eating carefully.
Oh, I'm sure. You know what I often wonder about, too, because this is a surgery that shrinks your stomach to the size
yes.
of like an egg or something.
Yeah.
Right? Is there ever a chance that you could become malnourished? I would assume that's also
If you don't eat carefully. I've heard stories and read stories of people who just stuck with the junk food and that's all they ever ate. You can become malnourished if you're not careful about your vitamins. And that fact is why some people choose not to consider the gastric bypass, because of the nutritional implications. You might have heard of the lap band. Governor Chris Christie
yes.
had the lap band surgery, where they put a device around your stomach that just shrinks its size.
Mm-hmm.
And it is technically reversible. They can take that lap band back out. So that's a safer way for people to go. You don't lose weight as dramatically and quickly,
so, yeah.
but it can really make a difference for people. And another one that they now do in Ithaca is the gastric sleeve, where they put a sleeve around your stomach, but there's no changes to your intestine. So you don't have the nutritional issues. You've just got that constriction.
So what does all the sleeve actually constricts? I'm
right.
wondering, what does the sleeve do?
It's just like the lap band, except a little more severely and more permanently. It shrinks the amount of food that you can eat at one sitting. And so, again, you need to be careful about getting in your protein first, but
yeah.
it really does support you. That's the way we like to think about it in our support group. It's a tool. It's a support for that journey that you do have to take. There's no getting out of diet and exercise, even if you have weight loss surgery. That's one thing people really need to understand, because I've heard stories
yeah.
of people who actually gained it all back. They'd
lose
100 pounds.
Imagine.
They'd gain 100 pounds if they didn't eat carefully. I wish I could say I was the poster child for keeping it all off. If I had done better with my exercise than I am now doing, if I were eating better than I'm now eating, I could be 50 pounds less than I am now. But I'm holding my middle ground and
yeah.
happy with that.
No, I think you look great. I mean, last time
Thanks.
I saw you, it was way prior to surgery, and I think you look great. But is there a possibility, I mean, with this kind of surgery, what if you do eat too much? Can you have physical
oh, yeah.
repercussions like pain? And
yes, and vomiting.
Oh.
If you're not careful, you learn pretty quickly that there's a line that you just can't cross.
Did you find that out
oh, yeah.
the hard way?
I think everybody has to.
Yeah.
I think you have to discover where that line is, and then you just don't want to cross it. In the first year after surgery, I probably had that experience more times than I wanted to. So that's something that happens a lot. But you learn pretty quickly how to avoid that by eating slowly, by chewing carefully.
Yeah. And you have to drink a lot of liquids, don't you?
You do, but you don't want to do that while you're eating. Because if you do that, you can be flushing your food through and you can eat more. So that's one of the things that they really suggest for after weight loss surgery is don't drink with your meal, which for we Americans is a little weird. We're just so used to getting water, and waitresses think I'm crazy when I don't ask for water
yeah.
with my meal. But I'd rather eat and concentrate on chewing, and then I'll drink my important hydration liquids in between my meals, and that sort of also keeps me off
the
food.
But that's part of what you have to do. I mean, you don't want to get dehydrated either, right?
Right, absolutely. And,
wow.
and that is important. But for me, it's sort of a crutch when I might go for a snack. I'll have a cup of decaf coffee or some tea, something warm as my liquid in between meals to keep my hydration up and to, you know, have something to put in my mouth. Because I am a mouth guy, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah. What was the hardest thing for you after the surgery was done? I mean, you obviously have been able to change some of your behaviors.
Yeah.
Is that been the biggest challenge that you have to keep a check on? What has it been?
You know, I'm going to say something you might not expect. One of the side effects of gastric bypass surgery is it makes alcohol about 5 times as effective in getting you drunk.
Really?
So even though I had never had any issues with alcohol at all, once I had the surgery, all of a sudden it was a lot more fun. And I've had a psychiatrist explain it to me that for his people that he sees who have gastric bypass, it's almost as if alcohol is an entirely different drug, a more potent drug. So I had a problem with alcohol. As one of the people I read online said, you know, if you have a problem not having alcohol, you've got a problem with alcohol. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was me for a while, that I was getting to a point where, for whatever reason, I was dealing with anxiety with alcohol. So now I'm abstaining. It's been 4 months. I wish it had been longer. But that's something that people who have a gastric bypass do need to watch out for. And they warned us 9 ways to Sunday, and did I have to try it anyway? Yes, I did, and learn the hard way that the people in my support group were right, and that I should not have gone back to alcohol at all.
Really? So you can't even just have like a little glass of sherry, say,
at this
perhaps.
Point, I have the usual alcoholic's problem of not being able to stop.
Ah.
And, you know, before surgery, a beer could stay in our fridge for a year and I wouldn't care. But now I just really have to avoid it altogether because I like it too much.
That's an interesting aspect that I
wouldn't have
thought of.
Wouldn't have expected it until I heard about it in the support group.
Yeah, and I would have expected you probably couldn't drink as much, but I had no idea that the effects would be so huge. God,
yeah.
That's amazing.
The stomach is an important part of how we deal with alcohol, and because I've got, as you say, the stomach about the size of an egg, it doesn't sit there getting slowly absorbed. It just zips right through you and gets absorbed very quickly, so I get drunk very quickly.
Wow.
And I like it.
Wow.
Too much. So
that's amazing.
I'm abstaining.
We are almost out of time. I have 2 more questions. I wanted to know if you know, we've all seen those reality TV shows, Biggest Loser and all that. Did you have to deal with any of that excess skin stuff that a lot of people who lose a lot of weight have to deal with?
Oh, yes. And many of the people in my support group have had plastic surgery. I'm lucky that I'm happily married and didn't have to be out looking for a new lover. And also, my honey has had the same surgery I have, so we're sort of droopy in the same places. And we like that just fine.
That's interesting. Okay, so you can live with it. Some people,
yes.
It's so excessive, it's a detriment.
Well, and for younger people.
Yeah, exactly.
Who really want to try to aim for a body closer to the ideal, many of them do opt for plastic surgery. And I don't begrudge them that at all.
Yeah. Oh, that is interesting. So in the last minute we have, do you have any advice for people struggling with weight? What would you recommend?
Well, you know, many of the hospitals that do this surgery, and I know that they do it in Binghamton and they do it at Cayuga Medical Center, for example, do have support groups that welcome people to come in and learn about the surgery just by asking questions. And, you know, you don't have to make any commitment. And there are open houses where the doctors make presentations. And that's my advice, is just read about it. I read about it for many years before seriously considering it for myself. And you know, some people take longer than others. Now, I wish I'd done it sooner.
But yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of information on the internet. ObesityHelp.com is one very good website that's got all kinds of forums and education. And just, I'd say learn.
Yeah.
If you've got a friend who's been through it, maybe they'll be happy to talk to you about it.
Which leads me to asking if you can give us some contact information in case anybody does want to talk to you.
Absolutely. I welcome email. I live in email. So if anybody would like to ask me a question, it's gkeeler@gmail.com. Happy to answer any questions I could answer.
Great. Well, Greg Keeler, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing this story. It's such an important issue, and I'm so glad you changed your life in such a positive way. It's such a great story. Thank you.
Dish. Thanks for having me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.